Hartman. Let's go to Phil Still, now live from Cleveland, Ohio. Phil Still, welcome to the program. You have Brian Hartman. You have Richard Harp.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well.
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for asking.
Phil, let me give you a plug here. Where can people get your annual?
Well, I appreciate that. It's available at all the newsstands across the country. It'll find the magazine stores, places like that. Of course, this time of year, it is sold out in a lot of places. So if you don't see it at the newsstand, you can head over to philsteele.com. That's STEELE.com. And that's not just an order-taking site. It is loaded with football information. In fact, I'm limited to 344 pages in the magazine. I try to pack every square inch with cover-to-cover information. The website, they tell me, has an unlimited number of pages. I'm trying to fill up each and every one of those. So check it out today. It is Phil Steele, STEELE.com.
And what's the best number they can get in contact with you with if they want to order on the phone?
Best number for the magazine is 866-918-7711. That's 866-918-7711. If you call that number, we'll get your order placed. It could be for the college magazine or the pro magazine and ship it out to you today.
And you have just an amazing amount of information. I can't get over how, I mean, my brain is about to explode looking at this. I mean, pardon the pun there, but insert your own joke. But I tell you what, I didn't think anything could be more detailed than the college edition. Well, I'm looking at this pro edition. There's only 32 teams compared to 120 Division I, but you've got everything you need to know about each. Describe each section each team has in your annual here.
Yeah, and what I did when we did the pro preview, we used to put out a pro preview and give it away free to anybody that bought the college preview, and we'd give two full pages on each NFL team, and I didn't put a lot of work into it. But a few years ago, I said, you know what, I don't see the amount of information I need on the NFL, which was the same thing I did for the college magazine. I said that no college magazine puts out the amount of information I need, so we went out and produced our own. We start putting a lot more detail into it, and given the fact that there's only 32 teams, going to six pages per team made it very information, and we just tried to put as much information on those pages as we could.
You've got the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, projected to be number one in your power poll. The New England Patriots projected to be number two. Is that your Super Bowl matchup there?
No, for the Super Bowl, I actually went with the Packers against the Patriots, and I'll explain that. The Eagles this year, when you look at them, probably have the best talent in the country, but as always, and much like I do in the college magazine, my power poll differs from my actual ratings in the front of the magazine. When you look at the Philadelphia Eagles' schedule this year, they take on a pretty tough schedule, a lot of tough road games, 10th toughest schedule out there. When you look at the Green Bay Packers, they only play the number 26 schedule. So how I played out the season was at the end of the year, I've got the Packers with more wins than the Eagles, which means in the NFC title game, I played it down to Philadelphia traveling to Green Bay, and I came up with Green Bay winning that game and getting to the Super Bowl. So we try to look at every single possibility for the upcoming season when we make the forecast.
Now, Green Bay went 15-1 last year. How did they end up with the number 26 ranked schedule, according to your projection?
Well, the thing is, the NFL doesn't do what they used to do. What they used to do is take the top seed or the number one team in each division and give them the toughest schedule. They would play all the other number ones out there, and if you finish fourth, you would play all the other number fours. So they changed that format about 3-4 years ago. They went to more of a set schedule where everybody is going to play these teams regardless of how they finished the previous year. And it's just the way the cards fell for Green Bay this season. You take a look at their games. In fact, there's an offshore place out there that puts numbers on each of the games and who they have favored and who they have an underdog. And they actually have the Green Bay Packers favored in all 16 of their games this year.
Well, let's get a little bit local here. The Tennessee Titans in the AFC South. You like the Titans sort of to take a step back, I see, a little bit.
Yeah, I think last year when you look at Tennessee, they might have overachieved a little bit. I don't know if they were as strong as their 9-7 record would indicate. They were a middle-of-the-road team, number 17 on offense, number 18 on defense. Their quarterback, Matt Hasselbeck, gets a year older, and if it is Jake Locker, I'm not sure Jake Locker's ready to become one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL quite yet. I do think they're going to get more out of Chris Johnson this year. Of course, that holdout last year really reduced his production. If he can recapture the form he had prior to last season. I think that would be a big plus for the Titans. And then you look at the team defensively. It's a good defense, not a great defense. And when you look at the schedule this year, you know, going back to that one place that has games where teams are favored and underdog, that place actually has Tennessee only favored in two games this year, believe it or not, with three toss-up games on the schedule. So it's a tougher schedule than they faced last year as well.
You kind of have the AFC South sort of as a cakewalk for Houston. I mean, 12-4 for the Texans, Tennessee Titans finished second, but 6-10.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way I see it. You know, when you look at Indianapolis and Jacksonville, those are two other teams that rank at the bottom. In fact, when you look at my power poll rankings, I've got Houston rated third in the NFL. I've got Tennessee down there at number 21, Jacksonville 31, and Indianapolis 32. So that's the two weakest teams in the NFL also reside in the AFC South. I do think probably the easiest pick for me in the magazine was when I was picking the divisions, was to take the Houston Texans winning the South this year.
Yeah, the AFC South used to be pretty tough because they would always contend for two or three playoff spots. Now, you know, you're just looking at the division winner, but it seems like the AFC South always has the best running backs. But the teams that there's always a leading rusher, an NFL leading rusher on one of those teams, but yet that team never seems to fare that well in their final record.
Yeah, that's how it has been played out. Now, last year, Arian Foster had a great season for Houston. And do keep in mind, this is a Houston team that got to 10-3 last year. And then they clinched their playoff, and they clinched everything. And they basically took 3 weeks off at the end of the season. I know they didn't rest all their players, but I think they played with a lot less emotion. They were happy just to make the playoffs for the first time ever. And they actually lost their final three games of the regular season. Had they still been playing for something, that's a Houston team that could easily have finished with 12 or 13 wins last year. And I think having Arian Foster and also getting their quarterback, Matt Schaub, back makes them one of the best teams in the NFL.
And another team that I think could be better, but you have them, you don't agree, is that the Jaguars, 4-12, 31st in your power poll. They've got a second-year quarterback, but, I mean, he's had a year offseason where he's had everybody there instead of the lockout, and he's got supposedly more weapons if he can get them in camp.
Yeah, well, my main complaint when I look at Jacksonville is the quarterback situation. You know, Blaine Gabbert is a guy that at Missouri, when I watched him, it seemed like if you threw a complex defense at Blaine Gabbert, he struggled. Go back to their bowl game a few years ago when they played Navy. Navy rushed two players and dropped back nine. And despite the fact they had great athletes, they really struggled to move the football in that game. And then Gabbert last year, playing for Jacksonville, I thought he struggled mightily at times. I didn't really think he was a first-round draft pick when he came out. And when I looked at Jacksonville this year with Gabbert at the controls, I have a lot of questions with that, and I think they're going to struggle for wins this year.
We're going to switch to the AFC North. A lot of Steeler fans around here. Pittsburgh, you project them to finish tied with Baltimore at 10-6. Those teams in the playoffs, Cleveland and Cincinnati, 6-10. The Bengals last year made the playoffs, and you don't seem to think much of the Bengals either.
Yeah, look at how Cincinnati has fared recently. In 2008, they were a poor 4-11-1. The next year in 2009, they jumped all the way up to 10-6 and won their division. What'd they do the next year? Well, they fell to the basement of the AFC North. They dropped down to 4-12. Last year, once again, all the way back up to the playoffs at 9-7. This year, it looks like they'll probably take a little bit of a step back. In fact, when you look at Cincinnati, last year their schedule was much more manageable. This year, they take on the fourth toughest schedule in the NFL. So it's a difficult schedule for the Bengals. I think Cleveland's going to give them some matchup problems when they play at Cleveland. And you look at some of the other road games this year. The Kansas City team that they face is one I think is playoff caliber. San Diego, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, all on the road. They're going to be an underdog in quite a few games this year. So I'm thinking the way Cincinnati has bounced up and down and up and down, it's time for a downward bounce this year.
Everyone thinks Baltimore might be taking a step back. Their defense is getting older, and you have some players that have got some questionable injuries there. But you've got them finishing tied for first with Pittsburgh at 10-6.
But I still have them taking a step back because last year they were 12-4, and I've got them dropping back to 10-6. And keep in mind, they were basically one play away from playing in the Super Bowl last year. A drop touchdown pass, then a missed field goal allowed New England to escape with that victory. So I think there are some folks that are pretty high on Baltimore this year. But I do look at the defense. I think it's another year longer in the tooth. Ray Lewis has just added yet another year. And, of course, they're missing their other linebacker, probably going to miss the entire year, the NFL Defensive Player of the Year there. So I think when you look at Baltimore, unless Joe Flacco was to have an exceptional season, I've got them tied with Pittsburgh for the third straight year in the AFC North.
And speaking of the AFC Championship game, Pittsburgh, you've got to figure them, New England, they're always in the mix. And you think Pittsburgh, do you think this is the year they get back to the Super Bowl?
No, I've got New England going to the Super Bowl this year. When you look at the magazine, and with New England, I think their key is going to be a vastly improved defense. But when you look at Pittsburgh, once again, they're a team like Baltimore whose defense gets a little longer in the tooth. But last year they were all banged up. They had numerous things to go against them. But they had the best yards per game in the NFL. If you take the offensive yards, subtract off the defensive yards, they were number one in the NFL. They had 60 starts lost to injury last year. I think that this is a Pittsburgh team that won't match last year's 12-win total. I've got them going 10-6, but I do have them winning the AFC North.
The AFC West, we go there now. The Denver Broncos, out goes Tim Tebow, in comes Peyton Manning. You've got them 9 wins. I guess that's what they were last year. So you think Manning is worth maybe what?
Well, I think Peyton Manning, if he's 100% Peyton Manning and back to his Indianapolis Colts form and, 100% adjusted and the offense adapts to him quickly, you'd have to make Denver a Super Bowl contender, which a lot of folks have. But I do have question marks as to whether or not that's the case. Will Peyton Manning be the same Peyton Manning he was 2 years ago? Look at Chris Johnson last year. Didn't have the same type of year. So that is one question mark, as well as the upgrade in the AFC. And remember, last year, Denver was 8-8, and they were the division champs in the AFC
West. So that's
West.
One more win.
They were actually outscored on the year 390-309, and that was a run-oriented team with Tim Tebow at the quarterback spot. Now they're switching up the offense. They are a solid team. I think they're a playoff-caliber team, but two teams I like even better in Denver this year are Kansas City, who just 2 years ago was 10-6 in the West and look much more like that 10-6 team, and then the San Diego Chargers, your perennial underachievers in the West. They actually were 8-8 last year, but outscored foes in the West 406-377. They were the only team in the West to outscore their foes last year. They're always in the top 10, both offensively and defensively. Last year, they just slipped out of that a little bit. But they've got Phillip Rivers at quarterback. They've got plenty of weapons and improved defense. The Chargers are actually my pick to win the West this year.
And it seems like the Chargers sort of had a stranglehold in that division, though. From every year, they seem to be the favorite. But, I guess Norv Turner is still the coach. A lot of people won't like the fact that they can't ever seem to get rid of him. He's always there. He always has his team top of that division.
Yeah, that's true, and you would have thought after last year, with the expectations San Diego had prior to the year, even with a strong finish last year, winning 4 of their final 5 games, I think Charger fans were greatly disappointed in it. But, another benefit that they've got going for them this year is that they are taking on the number 23 schedule. So I think their schedule gets more manageable this year as well. I think the Chargers are going to be one of those surprise teams that have fallen off the radar. Denver is now the flavor of the month in the AFC North or AFC West, but I've got the Chargers winning the division.
No secret, the AFC East, New England, you've got on top there. The New York Jets, though, I wanted to get into them a little bit. They add Tim Tebow to be a backup, but yet he seems to be getting a lot of play, even though he has a press conference and then he runs shirtless down the field. They get that guts all over the news and all that. It's all about him. But what kind of impact do you see Tebow having? Do you think he'll play a lot this year?
I think you're going to see Tim Tebow play on special teams. You're going to see him run out of the wildcat, and you'll get him on the field. You might even see him a wide receiver from time to time this year. I think it's going to be a lot of fun with the Jets. And, you have to like the spot the Jets are in right now. I think when you look at the other magazines out there, everybody's projecting New England naturally to win the East. But if you're looking for another playoff team out of the East, folks seem to be taking Buffalo. I think a lot of folks have dismissed the Jets. And keep in mind, heading into last season, the New York Jets were actually one of the preseason Super Bowl favorites to get there, and they have basically much of the same team back as they were coming into last year, except everybody's down on the Jets this year. I look at their defense, which was number 5 in the NFL. I think they should have one of the top defenses in the country. I think the addition of Tebow is going to help make that offense even stronger this year. And I know there's a whole bunch of off-field things, and it seems like there's a different story every day with ESPN there at the training camp. But Rex Ryan's used to all that publicity, and basically I think he's in the spot where he wants to be in. He's not the favorite. He's the underdog. He can rally his troops. And I think you're going to see a much different New York Jets team on the field this year.
If the AFC South is the worst division, the NFC East has to be the best division because you have three teams in the top 10, two in the top 5. The Eagles are your number one team, the Giants number 4, the Cowboys number 10, and the poor Redskins are rounding out the rear there.
Yeah, and I really feel sorry for the Redskins because they're a team that looks to be much, much stronger. But when you're playing in the same division as three legitimate playoff teams, the three teams that are very capable of winning the NFC, you know, Philadelphia, I rate the number one most talented team in the NFL this year. The New York Giants, the defending Super Bowl champs, went through all those injuries last year, so their record wasn't quite as good as their talent level, and they showed that in the playoffs. They should be healthier this year. And then, of course, the Dallas Cowboys, who appeared to have the division locked up and then just faded down the stretch last year, look to be much, much stronger. So with those three teams, I've got the Skins finishing last. I've got Dallas just missing out on the playoffs at 10-6. The Giants, the defending Super Bowl champs, coming in at 11-5. And as you know, once they make the playoffs, they're dangerous. And then the Eagles coming in first in the East at number one. I think they have the best talent in the NFL.
And the Cowboys, I guess they might be looking for a new coach if they don't make the playoffs this year, maybe a new QB.
Yeah, quite possibly. And, you know, Tony Romo's got that one playoff win under his belt total in the entire time he's been there. I think that's an accurate assessment. If they don't get it done this year, there's going to be some change in Dallas.
Central will go to the Green Bay Packers. You like them to make the Super Bowl. You got them number 5. The Bears, sort of, and the Lions. Do you say the Lions being able to build off last year, or do you think they take a step back?
Well, you know, Detroit last year played well, but when they took on playoff teams, teams that made the playoffs last year in the NFC, they were 0-6. So I'm a little concerned about that. But there's no doubt they've got all those first-round draft picks, all that talent. I think they actually finish with the same record they did last year, which is 10-6. But it might not be good enough to make the playoffs this year because I do think the Bears are going to be a vastly improved team. Remember, the Bears were sailing along after 10 games last year. They beat the San Diego Chargers. They appeared in a pretty good spot. But they actually went 1-5 down the stretch. But there's reasons for that. They lost Jay Cutler, their quarterback. They lost Matt Forte, their top running back, to injuries, and it really affected them. Now, I think this year, when you look at Chicago, getting Cutler back, getting Forte back, and then adding Brandon Marshall, who was Cutler's favorite receiver at Denver, actually gives him a quality wide receiver, which is something they've lacked in recent years. Then factor in the schedule. I rate the Bears as playing the 30th schedule, the number 30 schedule, their third week of schedule in the NFL. Add it all up, I see a lot of wins on the Bears docket this year, and I've got them getting to the playoffs.
The NFC South is kind of muddled according to your projection here. The Atlanta Falcons 9-7, the Saints 9-7. You see the Saints really getting maybe taking a step back because Sean Payton's out. They have a bunch of players suspended from Bountygate.
Yeah, and then having an interim head coach to your interim head coach for 4 games or 6 games of the season doesn't help either. I'm impressed with the New Orleans Saints' talent. I thought they were one of the best teams in the NFL last year. But I don't know of any team that can go with an interim head coach, let alone an interim head coach to an interim head coach. So I think there's going to be some problems preparation-wise. And we saw that last year, you know, in the Saints games when their head coach Peyton got injured on the sidelines. They weren't the same team without him calling the plays. And he, of course, won't be calling the plays this year, won't be involved in the preparation process. And I thought he was one of the best head coaches out there. So the Saints are still one of the most talented teams in the NFL. But the head coaching situation has me dropping them all the way down to 9-7 this year, tying with Atlanta. And here's the amazing thing about the NFC South. No team has ever repeated as division champs. Never. Hasn't happened since the South was formed. So that had me thinking, I need to pick somebody else besides the Saints. And why not pick a team that was everybody's flavor of the month last year? Everybody liked the Atlanta Falcons. And then they didn't win a playoff game once again. Now they've sort of fallen out of favor this year. I like when teams are in that situation. I think the Falcons take home the South and make the playoffs.
Is this the year the Falcons finally win a playoff game with Matt Ryan?
I'm going to call for it, yes. First playoff win this year for the Atlanta Falcons.
And what kind of step do you see Cam Newton taking this year?
I thought Newton had a pretty good year last year, and teams are going to have a little bit of extra preparation time for him. You know, the amazing thing is we're going to see if he can stay healthy all year. He took some hits last year, took off running. I think he'll have a fine year, but I'm not projecting big things for Carolina. I actually have him coming in 6-10, and that's probably lower than anybody else. I think I've seen a lot of folks pick him third, a couple folks pick him second this year. But I'm looking for Tampa Bay to be one of those bounce-back teams. You remember 2 years ago, Tampa Bay was 10-6. They had a lot of young talent, and everybody was picking them high last year. I actually picked them lower than expected last year, and they did drop, but I think they'll be back on the upswing this year.
NFC West, do you think the 49ers can stay where they were last year? They won the division, kind of came out of nowhere, Arizona. Maybe the St. Louis Rams, they just can't seem to gain traction.
Yeah, and last year when I was writing the magazine, I was really torn between San Francisco and St. Louis to win the West. And in fact, so torn that I picked the two teams tied for first. And one of the reasons was San Francisco was in, with a first-year head coach. They had the lockout, and you know there was not a lot of time to work with the team. So I didn't know if Jim Harbaugh was going to be able to come in and work his magic, but he did. And San Francisco had one of the best defenses in the NFL last year. Offense got better as the season went on, and they won 13 games. Now, there's a lot of ground to make up for Arizona, Seattle, and St. Louis, but I think when you look at the West this year, it's almost a no-brainer to pick San Francisco at the top. They just appear that much better. Arizona, they need to get their quarterback play improved. Seattle is a team under Pete Carroll that has performed well, and it'll be interesting to see how they do. And even St. Louis, I think they're going to be a much-improved team. Keep in mind, 2 years ago, they were a 7-9 team. Tied for first in the West. Sam Bradford should finally be healthy. And they've got a new guy in charge who I'm sure Tennessee fans know a thing or two about, and Jeff Fisher. And I always thought he got great performance out of his teams on a yearly basis.
I want to give you the chance here to plug your publication. Where can people get it? It's Phil Steele's 2012 Pro Football Annual. Got a lot of jam-packed with information.
I appreciate that. The NFL magazine, 288 pages. Six full pages on each team. I'm sure everyone's familiar with the college magazine. That's limited to two pages because we're writing about 124 teams. But this one has a great breakdown on each and every position, each and every team, power ratings, loaded with information. It should be at a newsstand near you. If you don't see it at a newsstand, you can go to the website, which is Phil Steele. That's STEELE.com. And when you go there, it is not just an information site. Are not just an order-taking site. It is loaded with information. Check out my daily blog every day. Today we're going to be putting up coaches on the hot seat for college football. And then, of course, we have forecasts for the NFL, FBS, FCS each week during the season. That is Phil Steele, STEELE.com.
And which coach is on the hottest seat in college right now?
Well, I got to go with John L. Smith from Arkansas because I think – anything less than an SEC West championship, and they'll be looking for a new direction. He's sort of a stopgap measure this year, and I would put him clearly number one.
You got Derek Dooley up there, I guess?
You know, he is on my list, but I think Tennessee will have a good enough year where Derek Dooley will be around for a fourth year. And, you know, he didn't step into a great situation. He was the third head coach in 3 years at Tennessee. That kind of transformation of the coaches and that kind of turnover generally means low on scholarship players, low on returnees, and that's what he was the first 2 years.
Phil, we do appreciate it. We look forward to having you back at some point.
All right, thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun talking football with you guys today.
Well, we always will, and we'll have you back at some point, Phil. I want to congratulate you on an outstanding job, and we'll see you down the line.
All right, thanks a lot. Great talking to you.
That was Phil Steele from the Phil Steele, North Coast Publications in Cleveland, Ohio. He's got his Pro Football Annual out. It's been out for a while. It's got Eli Manning, it's got Calvin Johnson, and former UT running back Arian Foster on the cover of it this year. That's going to irk some people in this area, I think.